thank you so much for being here today. My name is Lydia Mackay. I'm a physiotherapist based in Sydney, and I love to treat runners, and I also love to talk about running, and obviously also love to run myself when I'm not injured. And as you guys will have guessed by the title of today's episode, I'm going to be chatting to you all about cadence, which is super exciting because it has the power to potentially transform your running from lots of different aspects. It may make running easier for you by paying attention to it. It may make your running style more economical, and it may reduce your risk of injury. And when I say it may, well, it just depends on where you are at the moment. Maybe you've already looked at your cadence before, but if you haven't, then this could be the power to unlocking more easy and enjoyable running and less injury. So stay tuned because we're going to be getting into all the details, and we're going to be covering pretty much everything you need to know, from what it is, how it works, impact forces, biomechanics, and then how you can actually apply it into your running. So very, very exciting. But before we do that, I just want to say hello and welcome to any new listeners. If you are new here, hi, I'm Lydia. We have a podcast every single week, and every second week it is with a guest, and every other week it is with either myself or the wonderful Sophie Lane, run coach, S&C coach, and we chat about a topic of interest that is hopefully interesting for you as well. Now, I'm just going to give you guys a little bit of an update too, because last solo episode, I was telling you all about my bone stress injury, and I have very good and exciting news, which I feel like I haven't had good and exciting news for a while, so it's overdue, right? Maybe it's just due. Maybe it's just appropriate timing. But basically, I thought I had a bone stress injury in my fifth metatarsal about 4 weeks ago. And turns out I did not have a bone stress injury, which is super exciting. If you guys listened to last week's episode, you guys will already know this, but just filling in the blanks for any of our new listeners. But pretty much where I'm at the moment is bone stress injury free, which is awesome and wonderful. And still kind of having the same issues with my foot and hip pretty much. So it's such a weird thing, like getting the MRI back and seeing it was clear and being like, yes, I'm so excited, it's clear. Like, took my boot off and like hopped around my kitchen, like tried on my runners, and I was like, yep, I'm gonna run. But I was like, I still have pain in my foot and I still can't hop. And obviously, like, there's lots of different things that can go wrong with your body that aren't bone stress injury, but the management is quite different if you've got bone stress compared to not bone stress. So I was very excited to run again, but I also just had to pull myself back a bit because I still like couldn't really hop on my foot / still can't today. Although in saying that, guys, I think this is the first week I've actually seen the teeniest, tiniest bit of progress in my foot. I can almost hop now. Like, I can kind of hop, but it hurts. But I'm starting to like get a little bit more power from my foot. So last 2 weeks, I've started doing double leg pogos in the gym, which have been mostly pain-free. And now I've started to transition to like a staggered stance pogo where like it's kind of, I don't know whether it's 50% of the weight, my body weight on my right foot, which is my injured side. But basically it's like a modified single leg pogo, and I'm definitely not up for like that single leg hop, but yeah, it's definitely progress. So very exciting. And I've started my return to run with like a run walk. And it's really interesting because I think if I had a patient who couldn't hop on one leg, I would be pretty reluctant and cautious to get them to run. So it's definitely a tricky one. And it's made me ask a lot of questions with myself and with my colleagues around, you know, what does pain mean? Like, is there actually tissue damage, or is it just some kind of pain which we have to manage and I guess maybe not pay as much attention to, but just is there? And then the other thing is like function, like what can I functionally do? And it's important to be able to do the things, like do the parts of running before you go for a run. And for me, I can run completely pain-free if I'm running relatively flat-footed, like no issues whatsoever, even if I'm kind of like hopping really flat-footed, or if I hop like really high on my toe, there's no issues at all either. But I just have this issue as my foot kind of goes like pretty much just in neutral up to like, I don't know, like what you'd even call it, like another 30 degrees of plantar flexion. Anyway, not overly important, but basically I'm working through that. I've added in some isometric calf raises to my routine, and that is the most progress I think I've ever had, is like doing isometrics. And I feel silly because I feel like I should have been doing them right from the start. Like, why have I not been doing isometrics? I've just been plugging away at my calf raises. And I think I should have been doing isometrics initially. I think because I could do a calf raise, I was like, what's the point in doing isos? But I think, yeah, I just feel like I've had a big difference since I've started doing them. So there you go. I might start applying that to all areas of my body. And I actually have, because I've had some progress with my hip as well, which is super exciting. Like, literally just in the last few days, my hip is like the teeny tiniest, tiny bit better. Like, I still can't really do a bodyweight lunge or even like a full depth squat bodyweight, but it, like, every now and then I can do like a couple reps pain free and the pain kind of comes back. But I'm doing is adding in some like heavier bent knee adductions and what's the other one? Oh, like heavier banded hip flexion, which I was doing with a light band and finding like so hard. But now I've just like upped the band and just like doing more of like a slow and like paused rep. And yeah, it's really working. So very excited about that. In terms of diagnosis, guys, we still don't have a diagnosis, but we're just working with the symptoms. We're working with the function. And I've just started running, which is so exciting. And I'm being very slow and conservative. And I think, yeah, I was saying to a few people, I'm like, oh, I'm trying so hard not to get excited. But truthfully, like, I don't know if I am trying hard not to get excited. I think if anything, I'm like just genuinely not that excited. Like, I was excited in the moment, like when I actually was running, I was like, wow, this is amazing. Like, how fun is it? Like, running around and listening to music and looking at the ocean and running through the spring flowers and, you know, springs in the air. Like, it feels so good. We've had this heat wave in Sydney and, oh, I just love running in the heat. Like, it's sweaty. The air is warm. It feels so good. And like, that was what I was experiencing when I was running. And I was like looking down at my watch and I was like, oh my goodness, Lydia, slow down. This is not a return to run pace. But I was just so excited and having fun and enjoying it. Yet, like, I finished and I kind of just like forgot all about it again. And I was like, no, I'm not getting excited. I don't see it. Oddly, I don't really see it as a success, because I'm like, well, my foot is kind of the same as it was when I stopped running. Like, if anything, I feel like I potentially stopped running too soon. Like, when I stopped running, I was like, this is me being like so conservative, like really, really cautious. Like, I'm going to have a couple weeks deloading, get the body feeling fresh, and then kind of just come back nice and gradually. Because the thing is, like, I never really had that much pain running, / if any pain at all. I just had this like dull little ache in the side of my foot at the very start of the run, and then like sometimes at the end of the run, and then this weird like inability to hop, which then like comes back to the whole like nervy situation, which, you know, it's all just whole maze. But anyway, basically where I'm at now, I'm just like staying focused on the process, not getting ahead of myself. My plan is over the next 2 weeks to extend my run component of my walk run. So I've done the weirdest return to run. So please no one take this as advice, because this is definitely not a standard return to run protocol. But what I've done is 6 minutes on, 4 minutes off for an hour, which, like, just a bit weird, a bit random. But I guess the reason I did that is because I was already walking most days for about 2 hours. And what I had been doing like the last 2 weeks before this return to run is I was doing like 15 seconds up to 45 seconds up to 60 seconds running on these 2 hour walks. Like, I'd do it every like 5 or 10 minutes, and I just did it kind of when I felt like it, intuitively, you could say, listening to my body. And, you know, everything was feeling fine, kind of like mostly just the same. Like weird, random, sharp pain here and there, and then it would just kind of disappear, which is different to what I initially felt. Like, initially, like months and months ago, I was like, it's kind of like tiny ache every now and then, more at the very start, and then it was gone. Not really this weird, sharp pain, which I've been having now. But anyway, basically, I'd been doing that for a couple of weeks, no issues. Sydney Marathon just gone over the weekend. I was working as a physio, which was awesome, so much fun. That's a chat for another day. And I caught the train to Central and was running late to get to the finish line. And so I just had to run 2.5 Ks to the finish line. And obviously I had not planned to do that. I had like my over the shoulder bag on, which was like a little bit heavy because I had like a whole bunch of stuff in it. And I just ran. Well, it's actually 2.7 Ks. And I just did it, no pain, didn't think about it because I was running late, obviously. Should say, I'm not normally a late person, but you know, these things happen to the best of us, right? And I had kind of like forgotten about that until the next day. And I was like, oh, my foot's fine. I ran 2.5 Ks yesterday, or like almost 3 Ks, and no issues at all. So that was me giving myself the green light to then start my return to run program. Had Monday off and then did Tuesday, Thursday, and I'll do another run again tomorrow. I did 6 minutes running, 4 minutes walking for the first run. And then the last one that I just did, I did 7 on 3 off because I kind of just lost track of the time, and it was 7 minutes when I looked at my watch and I was like, oh, I guess I'll stop. And then the whole reason for 3 minutes rest was really just so it was like every 10 minutes because I didn't want to have to do any maths and I didn't want to program a workout on my watch. I know it's not that hard to do, but I just couldn't be bothered. So anyway, that is my plan, or my plan going forward. Or sorry, that's what I've done. Plan going forward is to do 8 on 2 off for the hour. And then the week after that, I'll do 9 on 1 off. So after 2 weeks, the plan is I'll be at 3 60-minute runs a week. And I might decide on that week to break it up as like, you know, like drop off a couple minutes and make them more like 45-minute runs. Yeah, we'll just see how we go. I think for me, I kind of just wanted to maintain my routine. And I definitely would normally, with most injuries, like a return to run would aim to build up frequency, like 30-minute runs, you know, 3 or 4 times a week before I just do an hour. But I'm just kind of bending the rule a little bit, and also just like I'm walking for 2 hours normally with these random little jogs in there. So I feel like my body is able to handle like that time on my legs. Do you know what I'm saying? So for sake of me keeping my routine, it's kind of just how I want to do it. So I'm just going to see how we go. Once we're comfy at that hour a couple of times a week, as I said, I think I'll add in a fourth run, drop them all down to slightly shorter distance and just have like 4 or 5 runs at that like 45 or so minutes. And then hopefully get back to doing some speed work, which I'm so excited about because I just like have this craving to run fast, which I've never done before, but I reckon 2024 is going to be the year of speed. All right, that is enough of a catch up in terms of what is happening. Hello to everyone who said hello to me at Sydney Marathon. It was so nice to see so many people and hear so many great stories, and also probably equally heard so many like not so great stories, because I think a lot of people just bombed with the heat. And fair enough, it also made me dive into doing some reading around how our bodies adapt to the heat. So guys, stay tuned. We're going to do an episode on that probably, I don't know, in the next couple weeks or months. Stay tuned for that. All right, that is enough of a catch up. I'm going to get straight in now to chatting all about cadence, which is why you guys are here if you clicked on the episode. So let's start off. What is cadence? So cadence, you've probably heard of it lots of times if you're a runner. So it's frequently spoken about, I'd say, although actually, you know what? In saying that, I think as a kid, I had no idea what cadence was. I don't think I really knew about it until I had trouble with my ITB band or IT band. I always say that. So anywho, I didn't really learn about it until I was interested in trying to reduce my injury risk. And for me, I had a huge win when I adjusted my cadence. Now, if you don't know what it is, cadence is simply how many steps you take per minute, which basically is how quickly you're turning your legs over, or how sort of long your steps are. So if you take lots of really short little steps, you can have a high cadence. Whereas if you take really long steps, long and slower steps, you can have a low cadence. Now, naturally, shorter people tend to have a higher cadence because they sort of make up for their lack of leg height. And then taller people tend to have a slightly lower cadence. And, you know, there's probably other genetic factors as well. Other things like the terrain that we're running on, the environment we're in, if we're going uphill compared to downhill. Uphill, like you're just not really going to have a very fast cadence. Downhill, you probably will, although at times it might get so steep that you then might start slowing your cadence down again. And then naturally, as we run faster, our cadence goes up because we take more steps. and what else, you know, uneven surfaces, you might slow it down a little bit. So there's lots of things that will impact what our cadence is. And most people have a bit of a natural rhythm of how they like to run. And part of that is your exposure to running as a child, like how you grew up running. If you're a sprinter, you'll tend to have a slightly different way of running. Or if you're someone who's a long distance runner, again, slightly different. Something else that we see is as people age, cadence usually goes up and people take quite sort of short shuffly steps. So step length becomes quite short. And often like younger, like sprintier people tend to take longer, sort of like bouncier strides and end up with a relatively low cadence. But you know, everyone is different, and there's definitely not a sort of norm. And there also isn't like a gold standard cadence of what we should be aiming for. Now, when I first looked into cadence, and I think there's probably so much about it, but like initially when cadence was researched, they came out with this gold standard number, and it was 180 beats per minute, which means that you should be taking 180 steps every minute. And that has since been sort of disproven as like not the magic number for everyone, because that was looking at like elite athletes. And I think, I'm not entirely sure, but I think they were like 1500 meter runners, and like we're just not all male 1500 meter runners at the elite level. So you really can't use that one cadence and say that that's what you should be doing. Yet what we can understand, and there's so much research on it now, is that adjusting our cadence is something that can actually reduce our injury risk. When I say adjusting, usually it's increasing our cadence. So it's going to be relative to you. And pretty much what I'm saying now is like the summary of the whole episode. If you increase your cadence by around 5 to 10%, you are most likely going to be able to reduce your injury risk, because you're going to reduce your impact forces. And by reducing your injury risk, you're just going to be a better runner, because you can have less time off. And less time off means more training, more consistency, building a better base, more tendon conditioning, blah, 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 less likely to get injured, improve your performance, all that good stuff. So that literally is the summary of the whole episode. So if you are short on time, you can tune out now. But if you want to hear a little bit more detail, I'm going to go into it now. So firstly, like we know what it is, but how can we actually like know how we're running? So if you go onto your watch and you have a look at your run, it'll actually tell you after you've done your run what your cadence was. And, you know, every device will have probably slightly different accuracy, right? And my understanding is that watches typically increase your cadence. Like the prediction is like slightly higher, although I'm not up to date with like the latest tech and exactly how they do it. You can have a more accurate reading if you get one of those little like pods which you put on your foot, like a little shoe pod. I'm not entirely sure what they're called, but if you Google it, cadence shoe pod or something like that, you can use that to get a really accurate an accurate prediction, or like an accurate knowledge of your cadence. You guys know what I'm trying to say. So that would be a way to like actually know what your cadence is. The other way to know what your cadence is to get your running assessed. So where I work at the running room in Clovelly, we have a treadmill which will check your cadence. So we've got like a force plate underneath the treadmill, and so we can actually see what people's cadence are, which is really, really useful, because as I said, there isn't a gold standard cadence which we should be trying to adhere to. So trying to just like pick a random number and chase it would just be silly, because you don't know where you're coming from. Like you might be like, oh, okay, 180 is the number, I'll try and change it to that. But that actually might be a bit too slow for you. It might be a bit too fast for you. So yeah, I definitely wouldn't just pluck a number out of thin air. Really important to know what your cadence is first of all, before you consider trying to change it, right? Okay, so we've spoken a little bit about what it is and how you can measure it, Garmin, Apple, Run, Pod, whatever you want to call it. But let's just talk a little bit about like what the research actually says. So heaps and heaps of research on cadence, but firstly, how do we actually get injured? Now, I've done a previous episode on this, which you guys should definitely check out, because it talks about how runners get injuries essentially. And I think it's worth saying this at the start of the episode again, that there are lots of variables. Like runners getting injured is multifactorial. It isn't just one thing, but for the most part, increasing training load, increasing running frequency, duration, distance, and speed has all been associated with running injuries, or in particular, overuse running injuries, because obviously, like, those things aren't really going to increase your risk of, like, stumbling on a curb and like roll in your ankle. Like that could happen to anyone. But pretty much the more you do, the more likely you are to get injured. So you can change your cadence all you like, but if you run a lot, then your risk of running injury will just go up. But outside of that, there's a lot of research which shows that running injuries are actually increased as we increase our impact forces. So impact forces can be measured in all sorts of different ways, but heaps of research, and I'm going to be putting a bunch of this in the show notes so you guys can have a bit of a look at it yourself. But a 2004 article, which I was looking over, pretty much showed a correlation of low impact forces reducing the risk of runners incurring injuries or overuse injuries. And the paper did also mention that, you know, all those things I just spoke about, like how fast we run and how long we run, how frequently we run, is going to also increase our rate of injury. But those things like impact forces have got a huge correlation to our overuse injuries. So it's important to understand that, because impact forces are something that we will increase as we decrease our cadence. And on the other side of that, they will decrease as we increase our cadence. Hope I said that right. I feel like I might have just said that backwards. Basically, guys, the lower your cadence is, the greater your impact forces are. And that has been shown in heaps and heaps of research. So this 2018 paper looked at kinetic risk factors for running related injuries. And this was a population of female recreational runners. And they basically got 74 healthy female runners and they put them on this treadmill, which measured 3D kinematic data, and they did like a 15-week half marathon training program, and they found that the peak braking force was the biggest kinetic variable which had a predictor of running related injuries. So for those that had really high peak braking forces, which is essentially like when you land you get this braking force, the higher that went, there was up to an 8 times increase or a 7.9 times increase of overuse injuries, which is quite significant. And the conclusions of the paper sort of suggested that coming back from injury, adjusting your running and your gait cycle is something that should be considered to reduce future injury, because obviously, you know, if that impact force is really great and we get more injuries, it just makes more sense to decrease that impact force. So, you know, lots of research showing how forces basically get us more injuries, which makes a lot of sense. Like if you imagine like jumping off a box, the force that would be going through your legs if you jump off a box, which is half a meter compared to 5 meters, is significantly greater. Hence why if you jump off a really high building, you're probably not going to survive. I mean, that's just obvious, but I guess I'm trying to give you like a more easier to understand sort of scenario. And similar to when you're running, like every single time you land, there's force going through your body. And so if we can decrease that force, then you're just going to get less injuries. Now, really awesome stuff, but like, cool, all right, how do we decrease our forces? What if I'm like really heavy and then I'm just going to have more force? Yeah, of course. Yep. Weight is a factor. Running faster is a factor, and just running more, like your body's going to be exposed to more force over more time. So there are things that we like can't adjust, and it doesn't mean that you're going to have injuries forever. But what we do know is that all the research shows that if we are able to increase our cadence or reduce our stride length, because as I said before, as we increase our cadence, stride length decreases, we can actually reduce those forces, which is so magic and wonderful. Like how good, something so simple. We just simply increase the cadence, reduce our stride length, and those forces just go down, just like our injury risk goes down. Like there are very few things, I think, in the running world that are like the magic pill, or like, what's that thing people say? Like the silver bullet. Like there's not many things like that. Mostly it's hard work, it's years of training, it's commitment, blah, 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 time on legs. Yet cadence just seems to be this one magic thing that can really just dramatically decrease our injury risk. So I'm going to be popping all these papers in the show notes so you guys can pour through them yourselves, which I know you would be super excited about for your Sunday reading. But moving forward with the way that we can reduce those impact forces, a particular study that I looked at from 2014, a controlled lab study, had 45 participants running on treadmill at their own self-selected paces, and it looked at the limb posture at initial contact and found that all those who are overstriding, now overstriding is that longer stride, typically lower cadence, they were all found to have greater braking forces and greater patellofemoral load. So if we think about particularly knee conditions, and this is something that I see a lot in the clinic, is people overstriding and having knee pain. We simply reduce that stride and people's knee pain go away. And this paper literally supports that perfectly. The next paper that I was looking at stride length and running mileage on stress fracture risk from 2009, which is just so cool because this is an injury which is so common. So it's like, wow, imagine if there's something that we could change in our running form to reduce injury risk. And pretty much the main results showed that reducing stride length decreased the probability of a stress fracture by 3% up to 6%, which, okay, it might sound like a little small number, but that's pretty cool. Like, that's pretty amazing to think that just slightly reducing that stride length, and that they did a 10% reduction in stride length as well, I should say. And so 10% for each individual. It wasn't like everyone had to pick a certain cadence or whatever. It was just decreasing it by 10% for each individual. Should be worth noting, which I've mentioned as well already, is that increasing running mileage increased your risk of stress fracture by 4 to 10%. So I guess if you think about that, like, yes, we can decrease our risk by reducing our stride length, increasing the cadence, but if we run more, then we're also going to increase our risk. So I guess, like, you can probably run a little bit further with decreasing that cadence, but probably not by a super amazing amount, you know? Like, we still have to be mindful. All right, the rest of the papers are all going to go down below in the show notes, so check those out. But just a little summary is that cadence, as we increase cadence, our braking forces go down and our patellofemoral loads go down, and just joint loading in general goes down. And at the same time as that cadence goes up, our step length decreases, and so therefore our overall injury risk will decrease, okay? And also, I want to mention too, shout out to Sports Chiro Luke, who did a post on this not too long ago, and it actually made me think, I'm going to do a podcast episode on this because it's been a little while, I think, since we've spoken about it on the podcast, and it's a very, very valuable topic, I think, for every single runner, something that is worth looking into and potentially adjusting. So that's the summary. And guys, I'm going to also put Luke's blog in there because he's got a great post and he mentions a lot of the research that I've spoken about in today's episode too. So moving on, we know why decreasing your step length is so good, and we know why increasing your cadence is so good, and we don't want to get injured, we want to run more, we want to run faster, we want to be more economical, and we just want to go out and do it. So how do we actually do it? So step one is to find out your actual cadence that you're doing. So use your watch, use one of those little running pod things that you pop on your foot. I think it's just called a foot pod, guys. So look that up. Or book into your physio. So you can book in to see me if you'd like at the running room in Clovelly, and we can check your cadence. So that's the first step. Actually find out what your cadence is. Now, next step, and this is something that I do all the time with my runners, is I look at the cadence and then I actually look at how that person is running. So someone's cadence might be relatively high, but yet the way they're landing is out in front of their body. So typically the way I would define an overstride, and this is what most of the research says, is that the overstride is when your tibia angle is greater than around 10 degrees. So pretty much the tibia, we actually want it to be, that's your shin bone, by the way, as vertical as possible when you are landing on the ground. And when it's pretty vertical, you actually land really close to your center of mass. And if you sort of just think about it logically, if you land really far away from your body, every time you land and hit the ground, it just looks like a break. Like, your leg is landing out way in front of you. It kind of, like, bam, like, stops you and jolts you. And then you have to kind of bring your center of mass over the top of it. Compared to if you land with that tibia perpendicular, straight up and down, it's quite close to your body weight. You pretty much just land and you just transfer your body weight straight over. And obviously the research supports that. Like, the impact force is just far less and you just get less less joint loading and less injuries, yada, yada, all that good stuff, which you know and love. So I am actually going to look at where that person's foot is in relationship to their center of mass. And then the next thing I'm going to be looking at is actually the angle of their tibia. Now, you can do this at home, or like probably not at home, but like around the block or whatever. Set yourself up a little tripod and get the slow-mo feature on your camera and then run past it. Now, I would try and run at your cruisy easy pace, because that's probably what most of the runs are that you're going to be doing. Like most runners, 80% of your running should be easy and cruisy zone two, and 20% is hard. So I would do a couple goes running past just your slow, cruisy, easy pace, and then some at your like more race pace, or even just a tempo pace would be nice just to try out and have a look. So do it in slow-mo. Make sure you've got enough space. Ideally pick somewhere where, you know, the lighting's okay, like it's well lit, the background's not too sort of, I don't know, confusing and complicated. You guys know what I'm saying, like relatively clear background so you can see yourself quite clearly. And so you can watch in slow motion and you can look at where you first hit the ground. What is the angle of your tibia? And is that straight? Like, is it perpendicular to the ground? And how far away is the back of your heel related to your body? And you want it to be pretty close to your body. So that's what you can do at home. Or if you want someone to actually have a look at it, then you can come and visit me at the running room in Clovelly. But definitely like give it a go yourself. I feel like it'll just be fun. Just a little fun activity for you on your Sunday afternoon or maybe during the week to watch yourself running. And yeah, get some information about it. And you may just like look at it and be like, oh gosh, I don't know. Or you might be like, oh gosh, I look terrible. Like guys, come on, don't be so judgmental on yourself. Like, you know, this is just what runners look like. So that is the first step. Look at your watch, film yourself running, go and get someone to do it. And then the next part is like deciding, okay, am I landing out in front of my body? Or am I landing underneath? What is my cadence? And usually what I will do is encourage someone, let's say you're landing out in front of your body. That's what we want to try and fix. That's what we want to try and adjust. Usually the best way to adjust this is by listening to a metronome. And the idea is that you listen to the metronome at a cadence which is around 5 to 10% greater than what yours currently is, provided you are overstriding. If you're not overstriding, guys, just leave it alone. Don't try and fix what isn't broken. So the metronome, super simple, like go into Google metronome. You check your cadence, it's 165, you're overstriding. Okay, cool. I'm going to bump it up to 175. Listen to that cadence. It'll just be like tick, 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 tick. And listen to that, film yourself running again and just look what happens. Has your position changed where you're landing? Maybe it hasn't. Maybe you try and increase the cadence again and then you look and see what happens. Now, obviously, like this potentially could be like a little bit of a process. It might take time. This is where it's really handy to have someone just do it with you. And this is stuff that I do all the time for runners in the clinic, is basically just like find out what people's optimal cadence is. And yeah, whether that's using the metronome, whether it's using a playlist that's got like a beats per minute target. Or the other thing that you can simply do is just like think about having like shorter, faster steps. And for me personally, I can't think of anything worse than listening to a metronome when I run, despite the fact that I tell so many patients to do it. So kudos to you if you have listened to a metronome. Well done, because it's not a great sound. But personally, I've just in the past when I had lateral knee pain, which there's good research specifically on ITB syndrome and cadence, which can improve your pain, blah, blah, blah. I just thought about having shorter, faster steps. And for me, that really simply got rid of my knee pain. Now, amongst other things, like I also managed my load better and I also did my strength work, all those good things that you know and love. But that simple cue in my head of thinking about shorter, faster steps helped me to increase my cadence and just make my running more efficient and reduce my knee pain. So yeah, definitely don't have to use a metronome, but it can be a really good tool. And I think it's a nice way to just be really objective about it too, because unless you actually have the real numbers and the data, you're kind of just guessing and making it up. And like, yeah, of course, if you think about shorter, faster steps, you will increase your cadence, but you don't really know how effective that is. And often what your brain perceives just isn't always accurate. I mean, obviously, like you don't need me to tell you that, like what you think in your head just isn't always reality. That's just the truth of life. All right, one more thing to note, guys. If you are increasing your cadence, it is really, really important to make sure that you don't accidentally end up sprinting. So something that I see all the time, and it's definitely a very, very easy mistake, is you increase your cadence and at the same time, you speed up your pace, which basically means that you're not really shortening your stride. So if your cadence just goes up and the speed goes up, your stride length can't really change that much. Whereas if you keep your speed constant and increase your cadence, then your stride length can decrease. Okay, so the idea with increasing cadence is shortening that stride. That's what all the research says. So just that actual cadence, hence why it can't just be one magic number, because it's related to your speed and your stride length, right? So that hopefully makes a bit of sense. So pretty much, guys, pick the speed, pick the cadence, and pick a cadence that you can change for that speed. And then that is the new cadence for that speed. And then you can also pick a cadence which is suitable for your faster running, okay? Now, I don't want this to be an episode where you go, oh my goodness, I need to like have a specific number that I chase every single time I run, and like have to listen to a metronome, and like I've got to be hitting this certain number, because you definitely don't. Like, as I said, I've never actually used a metronome when I've run. Like, I've played around with it on a treadmill, but I've never just like gone for a run and listened to a metronome. I've thought about adjusting my cadence for sure, but I haven't actually done it. And like, you know, I don't think your runs have to be taken over by numbers. And I think Sophie and I have spoken about this a lot in the past, that it's very easy to get caught up and sort of consumed by the data and the metrics. And I think running should be an enjoyable, relaxing, sort of like free time for your mind and body. And I would not want this episode to be taken as like running is about the numbers. And at the same time, I think it's just worth considering that adjusting your cadence can make running easier and more enjoyable, and you get less injured. So it's quite a powerful tool. And from my experience, when I've had runners adjust their cadence, like patients of mine that have adjusted it, within a couple weeks, sometimes a month, people change it and they just can do it, and they don't have to think about it ever again for the rest of their lives. Now, I can't say for the rest of their lives, because obviously that would suggest that all my patients have died now. But what I'm saying is that usually it's just like learning a new skill. Once you've learned it, you've learned it. It's not like you have to relearn it every single time you go for a run. So like, for example, myself, like years ago, I thought about it, I adjusted it, and yeah, I've never really had to adjust it since. And like every now and then I feel myself running on the treadmill and I'm not overstriding. It's just not an issue for me. So I don't have to go out and listen to that metronome, thank goodness. But like for sure, like when I'm like really struggling on a long run, I do notice sometimes I start sort of taking these big, long sort of like almost like, how do you describe it? Just these long kind of strides. And I actually start getting knee pain. And I've definitely noticed on some runs where I've ended up running like that, the next day I have quite sore knees. But usually when I start to feel that happen, I actually just think about my cadence. I think about shorter, faster steps, and running becomes easier. I still run slowly, okay? So it doesn't mean I pick up my pace. So cardiovascularly, it's the same effort, but I'm just doing shorter, faster steps. And my knees don't bother me. I usually feel pretty good the next day. And obviously, like, as I said before, you can still get injured by doing this, and running can still be hard. I mean, obviously, like, it's going to get hard at some point, the faster and the longer you run and the more frequent you run, and depends what you're training for, etc. But it's just such a nice tool, and I see so much benefit for people with injuries, in particular knee injuries. Like, that's something that comes up all the time. But just generally, like, just finding running easier and more enjoyable. And wouldn't you rather run and find it easier than be running in a way that is just less efficient and results in more injuries? Like, it just doesn't make sense. So going back to what I was saying before, you don't have to be listening to a metronome. You don't have to adjust your cadence. You don't have to film yourself running. You don't have to do any of it. But it would just make so much sense. It would make your running more enjoyable, potentially. You know, you might film yourself running and it turns out you're perfect and you're a superstar. And then you just have to get fitter, right? But like, what if there was just this little thing that you could adjust? And it's not that hard to adjust, guys. You just adjust it and then all of a sudden, boom, you're off to the Olympics, Paris 2024. Imagine that. So guys, that is my little bit of inspo and wisdom for you on your Sunday run. Hopefully you're listening to this while you're doing your long run, or maybe it's a recovery run or a gym session, or maybe you're just doing your house chores. I often listen to podcasts when I'm doing my house chores, and I find it quite a nice, relaxing thing to do. All right. That is it. Guys, lots of fun things coming up on the podcast. We're going to be having Dr. Izzy Smith coming up, who is an endocrinologist, and she is going to talk to us about all things bone health for running. So that's an exciting one coming up. We've also got Blake and Kelly from the Sports Med Project coming up either next week or the next fortnight. And we're going to be actually talking about bone stress again and managing return to run for that, as well as strength programming, S&C, all that shiz bang. And then what else? I mean, just there's a lot. There's a lot coming up, guys. Some really exciting things which are in store. And the other one too, we are thinking about bringing out some either hats or socks in prep for summer. So guys, let us know. Do you want a hat or do you want a sock? It's all plural socks. One for each foot, obviously. And that is it from me today, team. I cannot wait to see you around. Thank you for listening. Thank you for all the support. And if you are after some discount codes, check out the show notes for some discount on Tailwind, which is a lovely liquid drink of carbs and salts for your long runs, or some barefoot shoes to get your feet flexy and strong. Check out the discounts for 15% off in the show notes. And that is all from me, guys. Hope you're having a wonderful week, and see you all in the next episode.